I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hello there. Welcome to Wine Times, brought to you in association with the Sunday Times Wine Club. I'm Annika Rice.
And I'm Will Lyons, the Sunday Times wine columnist and vice president of the Sunday Times Wine Club. Throughout this series, we'll be sharing our love of wine and travel with a host of special guests.
From comics, actors, novelists and more, we'll be hearing about their travelling adventures, giving you a real feel for each region and, more importantly, a taste of it, thanks to Will and his stash of wine.
We're here in London Bridge, our own two-storey wine bar, tap and bottle. It has a lively, bustling atmosphere and plenty of character. The perfect spot to pour the wine and have a good time.
Well, discussing and decanting with Will and myself today is the legendary broadcaster, writer, polymath, Claire Balding. You are a polymath.
No, I'm not. Well, I think you have to be much more intelligent than me to be a polymath.
Yes, and you're patently quite thick.
Yeah,
obviously. But when I googled you, the first thing that did come up was,
why did you
genuinely
google me?
No,
you
because
know
I
me.
Do it with all my guests. It's
but
just
you
this,
know
this,
me
this is a joke. No, it did say, is she related to the Queen? And then of course the Queen did give you your first pony to,
well,
learn,
yes,
to ride.
But
on.
I'm not related. I wasn't related. No, I'm not related.
I know, but people, you know, get
assume
confused,
do
guess.
You think?
I don't know, possibly.
Yeah. Valkyrie was
Valkyrie,
the name of the pony.
I
yeah.
Know. That's such a hell of a present list to be on, to be honest, isn't it?
I think they needed a home. I think Valkyrie had, you know, obviously done her job with Prince Edward and needed a home.
Done and she was job with Prince Edward.
Taught him to ride.
No, I know.
Yes.
Yeah. Sounds worse, actually.
Oh, Barney, we haven't even had a sip of wine yet. Anyway, Claire, it's a joy that you're here because you're so busy at the moment. I mean, we know you from huge sporting events, you know, Olympics to Wimbledon, horse racing to rugby, but you've also become a fixture on our screens and through our airwaves on these seismic national events and royal weddings and everything. You're a best-selling author, passionate lover of all things furry, regular presenter of Craft, and your new book, Isle of Dogs.
Yes.
Which I came to the book launch the other
you
evening
did.
And I nearly got garrotted the second I walked in by a dog lead because everyone bought their dogs.
Yeah, there were a lot of dogs there. Did you meet Bob? Bob was the Portuguese Waters. Oh my gosh. He's quite big and he just leans against you and he's really soft.
I mean, there were people with their support dogs.
Yeah.
It was very touching.
Yes.
I do think now every event should have a bring your dog.
Well, I genuinely think offices would be much happier if they were dog friendly.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think schools really benefit from having, you know, they quite often will have a reading dog and the dog doesn't read, although I'm quite hoping with 13 million dogs in the country, I'm quite hoping if they buy the book, I'm quids in. But no, they listen to children reading, so they'll just lie down and fall asleep.
Because
really,
I was very touched with you because you thought you were a dog till you were about four.
Or what did you think you were when you were little?
I think I just wanted to be someone who mowed the lawn because I absolutely love that smell of freshly mown grass, which I still do. So I had, you know, ambitious thoughts at the age of 3 or 4.
Did you want
to
sit-on mower?
Sit-on mower. Yeah. Well, I hadn't seen one in those days, but, you know, had I known there was such a thing.
That's a whole other story. I did think I was a dog, really, because I was left with the dogs quite a lot, I think. I may even have genuinely believed that Candy, who was my mother's boxer, was actually my mother.
Yeah.
There's a really sweet picture of us, me as a baby lying next to Candy. And you know what boxers look like. Yeah. And my mother said, and I do think this is quite profound, if you think the boxer has a beautiful face, the world will always be a beautiful place.
The dog thing is beyond touch. I think I told the story of my niece staying with me when she was much younger, and she was so missing her dog, Stanley. And she just woke up one morning and said, I just wish I could text Stanley.
Yes.
And I that told me so much about the relationship.
I used to write letters. I mean, it, you know, ostensibly to my parents, but really they were to the dogs, and ask after them. And I did. I'm, you know.
So how many dogs did you have? Did you have a house?
We had two lurchers and two boxers, pretty much through my early childhood. And then any time an extra lurcher might appear at any moment. Cindy had puppies, and actually Candy had puppies, and it was one of her puppies, box puppy, that we kept. And one of Cindy and Bertie's puppies that we kept as well. So yeah, mainly it was lurchers and because the lurchers were brilliant at being able to run fast alongside the racehorses. And any racehorse that really could outsprint a lurcher was going to be pretty quick.
I do love a lurcher. So, I think if I ever got a dog,
they're lovely.
We had the opposite. I grew up on a farm. We had Sir Bernards, huge Sir Bernards.
Yeah.
And they slobbered everywhere.
They quite often they'll have bibs, actually.
Yeah.
So not unlike tasting wine, really. Yes.
Your life. Oh, you see, I used to read all those stories when I was a child. Jill's Gymkhanas and Jill's Perfect Pony.
My Friend Flicker. You were living it. Did you read My Friend Flicker?
Oh. You were living that life.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you met my brother and my sister-in-law and my mother at the book launch.
The Baldings were there in force.
Yes.
I love meeting them all.
But I then said to my brother, oh, did Annie ask if she can come and work in the yard? I said, because that's what she really wants to do. And he said no, and of course she can if she'd like to.
Can you just remind me when I thought I wanted to go and work in your
was you it
when
tell
I was
me.
No, but do you know what? Okay, I'm gonna, I think it was when I was stalking you and I wanted to be your friend, so and I was trying to ingratiate myself by saying, gosh, I'd just love to come and just work in
no
your
you
yard.
Said you wanted to be a jockey, and yes. I said, well, there is this invitation race at Goodwood that we could train you up to ride in.
No, I think
because you've got no issue making the weight, and that's always my problem. So you and you're fit and healthy, and I think we could teach you to ride a racehorse pretty quickly.
Okay,
that's a challenge.
Do you want to do it?
Well, I don't know now. Now that we're friends, I don't really need to do all these things to become your friend.
Right.
Do you see what I mean? I was just desperately trying to be your friend.
Why?
Because you were walking past my house a lot at one time, and I'd see you and think this is crazy that we're not friends. And then there was that one day when the ice was broken when I caught you on the riverbank walking backwards. And I thought, she's as mad as I am, it's fine, we're friends.
I also went through a phase of walking backwards because I had read and I had written about it being very good for you, and that I'd gone and done some filming in China with pandas for a program I was doing, and all these people really early in the morning were walking backwards up a very steep hill. And so I looked it up, and it makes your brain work differently.
Yes.
And it's very good for you because it exercises all sorts of different muscles. And I think possibly in Chinese folklore, it's a kind of turning the clock back thing.
Yeah.
But they think it's very, very healthy and good for you.
That's
so I thought I'd give it a go. So Alice, my partner, refused to. I always thought it looked ridiculous and I was being stupid.
It does.
And then Annie caught me walking backwards on the towpath.
And then from that moment on, the ice was broken. And then you found out that my house was actually on your walk, and you started just ringing the doorbell just to come in for a pee.
Yes.
And that's it. Now we're friends. It's good. And when I phoned you up about this podcast, and I said to you, have you been to South America at all? Is that an area we could pair you with? And what did you say?
I said, well, I did present the Rio Olympics and Paralympics,
and
I've canoed on the Amazon.
At which point I said, thank you very much. See you then.
And I've had a really great trip to Argentina. And just at the beginning of this year, actually, I flew into Ecuador because I went to the Galapagos Islands. And that
all
counts, doesn't it?
Yes.
That all counts. I think, Will, we can absolutely say that Claire is entitled to be head of South America.
Own South America. South America this year.
So we're in Argentina.
Lovely. Have you been to Buenos Aires, by the way? Oh, my word. Talk about an impressive city.
Yeah.
It's very European. And all of the beautiful trees were out, and I'm going to forget what they were, but it's amazingly, therefore, amazingly colourful. And Alice's first job was in Evita. So the one thing she wanted to do is go to the Casa Rosada and stand in the square.
I bet she did
beautifully. Oh, yes, and we sang. Yes. Fantastic trip, whether or not you like wine, but even better if you do like wine. Sensational.
And hasn't it been described as the Paris of South America? Yeah.
Yeah, yes.
So we always sort of drop down, and then we fly on to Mendoza.
Right, I think you need to
Yeah, definitely.
Life is not complete.
Can I just warn you while we're at this stage?
I'm still sniffing.
No,
yes.
Sorry,
Will's foreplay goes on for hours. You said you were hungry earlier. We could go out and have a full meal before Will has actually put it in his
mouth. Well, lovely Callum, your producer, has brought me an egg mayonnaise sandwich just in case I need.
Because I warned you how lengthy this process
And also this might go straight to my head because I haven't... Okay. Really
well, the great thing about Argentina.
Look, you see, he's put it down again. I'm smelling.
I smell.
We have in our glass a Torontes, which I always think is a bit of a Marmite wine. If we can imagine that we're outside the vineyard, they may be serving a few empanadas. This is 5 o'clock at night, and this is our first sip.
Forget that egg sandwich.
Let's have a taste.
Going straight into the taste. That was quick. You got better, Will.
You could say about Torontes, it smells sweet, but actually it's dry. It's bone dry on the finish, isn't it? Mm.
That is.
Yeah, and it adds that lovely...
But it's not sharp, and it doesn't give me... Sometimes some white wines give me that acidic afterburn, which I then know I'm going to feel quite sick. So that has to go very fast.
It's sort of a bit spicy as well.
Yeah, spicy. But I would describe this as a crisp. Finish.
Yes, Chris.
So you could definitely have this as an aperitif, sort of after you've come back from your 4 mile backward walk.
Yes. Yes, I could do that. Or riding a pony across Patagonia.
Yes.
Did that.
In a poncho?
Yes. Did I wear a poncho? Well, I tell you when we did.
You in a poncho is actually a glorious vision.
Yes. Covers a multitude of sins. I'm always happy to wear a poncho. So we went right down to Patagonia and stayed in this hotel in the middle of nowhere to go and see the glacier, but also got the opportunity to just ride across the wide open expanse of this incredible valley. You know, if you're going to do Argentina properly, you're covering massive distances. So one of the days is going to be almost all travel. We went back to Buenos Aires to stay with an old friend of my parents who's an artist. You'll like this, Annie. So she's called Adriana Zefra, and she particularly does equine art, but paints a lot of polo ponies. And she said to us, look, come out to the real polo places. There's this sale going on. Well, it was like stepping into some illicit, illegal, you know, kind of intense atmosphere of these ponies being ridden by gauchos around quite a tight space, showing how much the ponies could, you know, change their direction and little bursts of speed. And then all these people drinking wine and bidding on them. It was fantastic. It felt so authentic. And then we went to see a proper polo match. And there was a 40-goal team. So that's every single player is playing off 10 goals, the best you can be. And my grandfather was a very good polo player and was captain of the England polo team and was the last Englishman to play off 10 goals. So he was really good. I never met him. But I have this great polo history in my family. And therefore was really intrigued to see it played at that level. Yeah. And they're big into cloning ponies now. So one of the best players out there, all his ponies eight of them were cloned from one mare. Really bizarre.
Has that happened over here? Where do we stand?
Well, you can't
do
it with racehorses. You're not allowed.
Yeah.
And it has happened with Aventers, actually.
Gosh,
and with show jumpers.
Yeah. From Dolly the Sheep.
Yeah.
No.
That's creepy,
sort of,
isn't it?
That's a sort that's, of...
It was fascinating, though.
And that's like something out of a 1970s
it's
sort
like
of...
It's like the next one on from
sci-fi, short story. But polo plays a big part in all the vineyards. They always have a polo pitch. And Argentina, are they the world champions of polo?
They've always had the best... Yeah.
So I think the general consensus is we like it very much.
Torontes?
Torontes?
Yeah.
I would say that Torontes is the white wine of Argentina. Mm-hmm. But it's quite niche because not everyone loves that sort of floor, that wave of perfume that comes off. But I think it has its place.
This is Wine Times with Annika Rice.
And Will Lyons.
We'll be back with more great wine and conversations before you even get a chance to top up your glass.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com and get up to 15% off your first purchase as a member with code REBAGNEW. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAGNEW for up to 15% off your first purchase as a member.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
How was it with the Olympics?
Oh, it was terrific, actually. And I went back again for the Paralympics and got to do a bit more travelling then and went up to Christ the Redeemer. And I mean, it's a wonderfully vibrant city, Rio. And
yeah.
Alice and I then did this amazing trip down the Amazon and then around and sort of down the East Coast and sailed into Rio, which is quite a sight. And we had a day exploring where I saw more than I did when I was working. Yeah. You know what it's like, if you're working, you're working. And we went up, oh my gosh, we went on the back of these motorbikes up into one of the favelas to have lunch with the locals. I mean, that was extraordinary.
You probably won't know this, but Brazil actually does make wine. It's the fifth largest producer of wine in the Southern Hemisphere. And I once went down there with the great Oz Clark. We flew into Porto Alegre and then we went up to the Valle de Vinos. And what's interesting about Brazilian wine compared to Argentinian wine, what we found was it was lots of Italian migrants came over in the 19th century. And they came from northeast Italy, so sort of the sort of Veneto region. Wow. And they brought that style of winemaking, which doesn't use oak, which is all about freshness and purity. So the wines we had there were sparkling wines. We had these gorgeous sort of crisp white wines. And then the red wines were very easy drinking and sort of what I would call daytime drinking. They had high acidity and not the great amount of oak that we see in Argentina. I'm spoiling you because we've got a Trapiche Chardonnay, our second wine. You can hear that, it's in the ice bucket. This is one of Argentina's not only finest estates, one of its oldest estates as well. I think it dates back to 1883. I'll do Annika
Shall I
first.
Pass it over?
Oh, yeah, if you'd like.
Swap a glass.
God, he's putting a good slug.
I noticed. Well, why not?
There's no scrimping on the slug. I love the way after this you're going into you've be got interviewed by Fee and Jane.
I am on Times Radio, and that's why I'm slightly concerned that they'll accuse me of not
well, you've got a good excuse.
100%.
No, they'd be fine, I'm
with
sure.
Us.
We're sort of 50 miles southwest of Mendoza in a place called the Uco Valley. And so whenever you...
That is quite woody, isn't it?
Yes, because it's aged in French oak barrels. Mm. So it's Chardonnay. So the grape variety's spiritual home is France and Burgundy. But Chardonnay is grown everywhere. It's ubiquitous. It's very easy to grow. Winemakers love it because all you need is a bit of heat at the end of the growing season. And consumers love it. Or, you know,
that's wine lovers. You know when you swill it around the glass?
Yes.
You know, I'm trying to look professional here.
Yeah, you are.
It stays a long time on the side of the glass. And is that because it's thicker?
No, that's just the alcohol separating from the wine. But
because
it is,
the Torontos didn't at all.
It's got sort of,
sort of
got more body. Yes,
it?
Exactly. It has much more of a creamy, rich texture. Mm-hmm. So if the Torontos you would have as your aperitif, as they say, it goes well with seafood or solo. This one you would definitely want with food.
Yeah.
Sort of something creamy, risotto maybe.
Oh, yes.
Pasta. But I just want to have a sip of this because this is a classic Chardonnay.
Oh, sipping.
There's quite a lot goes in there. See, that's because you're not swallowing, whereas I'm only taking little sips and actually swallowing them.
So, Claire, the other way of smelling or tasting, so we've had orthonasal, that's when you smell it like bacon cooking and things, is retronasal. And that's when you put it in your mouth. And as a wine taster...
Oh, should we do a spit so that we can do the retro?
You sort of pull the air across. No, I can feel the retro. Yeah, you pull the air across because your sense of smell is a top part of your brain here that sort of is called the olfactory bulb. And there's two ways of getting it to it. One is through your nose, which is essentially a funnel, but the other way is at the back of your mouth. And so as you're pulling the air across in your mouth, it's going up to your olfactory bulb. Now, in your mouth, you've got between 2 and 10,000 taste buds, and they will obviously pick up sweetness, acidity, bitterness, tannin, which we might taste in our third wine, and umami, which
umami.
Was the fifth sense discovered by the Japanese professor in 1908. And umami you find in sort of miso soup and parmesan cheese. Mm. And humans innately love the taste and sense of umami. So anything that has umami in, humans crave it, actually.
Is that true? Are you writing this down?
No, I'm just going to remember it.
I base that on a paper by Charles Spence. He was commissioned by British Airways because they were finding that everyone was ordering Bloody Marys.
Yeah, I quite like a Bloody Mary on a plane, I have to say. And I hardly ever order it anywhere
else. Exactly, and not in the lounge.
So why? Is it the Worcester sauce or is it
the... It's the umami in the tomato juice.
Oh.
And it just makes you feel that...
Sort of comforted. Yeah. So are you enjoying this one?
I like the Chardonnay and it gets better the more you drink.
The more you drink. I can't wait for this interview with Jane and Phoebe. You're about to do that.
Let's go straight
tell us about your book and you'll be going, which one?
Actually, what
umami.
The moment is, listen to this podcast and then go straight to Off Air with Phoebe and Jane from, what days are we on today?
Yeah. Monday. It's
sort of the beginning of November-ish.
Not quite, though. We're the end of October. Anyway, whichever one says, off air.
To compare the two. Compare and
Claire
contrast.
Claire arrives half cut because she's been with that.
Just going umami to every...
Umami.
What's your new book called?
Umami.
Umami.
It's a very comforting word, actually. Mm. Do you remember your first glass of wine? Is it?
We were very much encouraged to be around the dining room table with adults from a young age because my... mother thought it was very important that we should be able to talk to
anyone.
The
Queen was there. It would have been so rude just to have gone, no, I'm sorry, I'm busy playing outside.
That wasn't for dinner, that was for breakfast.
I'm sorry.
So we weren't drinking wine.
Bloody Mary's at breakfast?
No.
Small Dubonnet?
No. Obviously, the adults were all drinking wine. I didn't really like it, so I wouldn't have had any until my taste buds had developed. And I think I only liked white wine. In fact, I know I did. Yeah, it will have been a white wine of a sort that probably the first time I tasted it, I went, ooh, I'm not sure.
Yeah, probably too sour.
Yeah.
Sharp.
Yeah.
It's funny how all those tastes that you try, it's like I used to think tea.
Yeah.
It was the devil's work.
Why I didn't
would you
like
want
coffee.
To drink an old sock, you know.
I really didn't like coffee until I was older. And then I love it.
So we're forcing ourselves to like these things because we feel we should, basically, aren't we? Anyway.
Let's go to the last one.
We're excited
I've got to
about
walk
this last one.
Across the room to get our
oh,
last
yeah,
one.
To get our Will red. Walking.
Oh, yes.
And I'll tell you what's interesting because usually they're just presented in a bottle. Will made a big thing of bringing in a decanter today. Yeah. Why has this wine got the decanter? Whereas why not all of them? We've done, you know, this isn't the
first Claire,
program.
This is, and Annika, we are spoiling it. This might be the greatest wine we've had.
You see,
on
that's
wine
why
times.
It gets the decanter. Is it because it's Claire? Or just because it's...
I hope so.
Well, I thought
why
it could
not?
Be quite fun, yeah.
You thought, let's spoil it.
And
that.
Also, yeah. I love red wine.
Now, I tell you why I decanted it. If you want to know, it's like cheese, isn't it? It breathes and it reacts with the air and the fruit comes to the fore. So when I first opened that this morning, and ideally, I would have decanted this for many, many hours, you couldn't smell the fruit. It was a sort of...
A bit of leather?
Yeah, definitely leather. And
pepper.
Violets,
yes,
pepper.
Yes, pepper. Good one.
I mean, it's a big wine.
Cracking
so
peppers.
We must imagine that we're having some sort of T-bone steak in front of us. You know, something really
sort
heavy.
Sort of bacony as well.
Yeah. It's a union between the great Cheval Blanc of Bordeaux, Saint-Emilion in Bordeaux, and Thérèse des Los Andes.
Wow.
It's called Chevelles des Andes.
That's strong, man.
Right, are we
that
going in?
Strong. Oh, I just did.
So I've already texted Jane and Fee and said she's not making it. She's not going to get
that. That is strong.
Yeah.
I mean...
That's about 10 quid a sip, is it? It's a more expensive
bottle. How much, seriously, how much is a bottle
of that? £100 a bottle.
Oh my word.
Yeah,
so you're not spitting this out then.
So if
surely
you were buying
Come
this
on.
In, you know, Gavroche or something, it would be way, way more expensive than that. Any
Five,
restaurant.
What, £500 a bottle?
Do not spit that. No. Please don't spit that out. You can't.
Go on.
It would
have been features I can have
just
a bit,
one little swallow.
A tiny sip.
Look, he's confused by that. He never usually does that, Claire. You've made him a swallower, not a spitter. Only you could have done that.
Oh, yeah. Stop it. So it's so young, Claire. So there are only a few wines in the world that could age and improve in the bottle. And this would be a wine that you would lay down.
Okay.
And it won't really
so
be showing
So when
its
was
best.
That? What year is that?
This is 2019.
So,
this is
so ideally you'd drink it a little later, would
yeah,
you?
Yeah, in 10 years' time.
Okay.
Christmas Day. And it will just, everything will just calm down a bit. The colour will go, I mean, at the moment it's this deep, opaque purple. No, not a swap purple. It's a ruby red. It will go more amber colour. But
can I ask you a question about price and wine?
Yeah, of course.
Because I think some wines are massively overpriced and overrated. And some seem to me really, really good value. Who's deciding on the price? Mm.
There's two things. It's the market and the merchant. So you are a bit like art. You are paying for reputation and scarcity at the very top end.
Mm.
So when you see these wines or you read about these wines going at auction for thousands of pounds a bottle, that's just like modern art. It's only because there's only a finite amount made and they've got this history that goes back 200 years. And they are very good wines. But also wine is, it's fashionable. It comes mm. in and out of fashion. And things like New Zealand Sauvignon Blanc, for example.
Yeah, I've gone off that. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no.
So for a while, obviously, the Cloudy Bay leading the way was the big, big thing. And then I just found it was giving me this acidic reaction. And I'd already gone off the Oaky Chardonnay. Yeah. So then I'm thinking, well, where do I go? So Pinot Grigio and obviously Gavi being the slightly posher version of
Gavi to Gavi,
being a posher Pinot, really.
Yeah.
But I found on one of the cruises, they recommended a wine called La Tonella, which was a white wine from Northern Italy. And that I loved. Quite hard to find here. I think there's only one, you won't find it in your local supermarket.
I thought it was lovely. That there's a great variety in Italy now called Fiano, which is, Italy is making some incredible white wines at the moment. And that's the other thing, is that wine is ever changing. So a bit like sport, no 2 years are the same. So it is a natural bonnet. So, you know, the weather will affect the ripeness of the grapes, which will affect the taste of flavour. Winemakers come and go. Wine owners fall in and out of love with their, you know, you could have a wine owner that says, I want to make the greatest wine, and then they sell it to someone who wants to make commercial wine.
You know that really buttery Burgundy? You can
yeah.
I like that a lot.
But don't you
the
think,
word buttery attached to a wine.
Don't you think our second wine was a little like that?
Yes, it was.
But essentially...
But I got to like it more...
I think what you want to do is go to Merceau in Burgundy, and they have the richest buttery.
Do you remember Sir Peter O'Sullivan?
Yes.
Right. The great racing commentator. He was a real wine buff. And I did a favour for him once for his charity. And as a thank you, he sent me a case of Merceau, which I'd never tasted before in my life. Oh, my word.
Oh, my goodness.
I did think that was
And it's just that creamy... So nice. Buttery character.
Again, getting better and better.
Nice, yeah, it's creeping up on us. And this will be lovely tonight or tomorrow.
It's going to be quite nice for my egg mayonnaise sandwich in a minute.
Yeah.
Oh, God, it's lovely. Will, but I must thank tell you for that, because I have been banging on right from the beginning of doing this about red wine.
I must mention this before we go, though. I had my greatest blind wine tasting moment.
Oh, I could say blind taste.
At the chateau where we are, Cheval-Suzanne, which overlooks the polo field. And we got there, and there was a European winemaker, and I was travelling with two British journalists. He goes, oh, thank goodness you're here. We can now have some European wines from my own cellar. And I said, brilliant. We'll just serve them blind, and we'll try and guess what they are. And so the first one, he forgot to serve us blind, which was some obscure Italian, which we would never have got. So the second one, he pulls it out in a decanter, and we're going through, and I'm thinking laterally, well, having a smell, blackcurrant, cedar, it's obviously a Bordeaux. It's going to be Cheval Blanc, because that's what is the sister property to this.
Mm.
And then I thought, well, hang on, it's quite tight, so it's a cool year, 08. So I went through the whole thing.
That good.
Went, but the greatest thing was the two journalists were like, oh, well, just guess it because it's Cheval Blanc. And there was a consultant from Pichon Lalonde. So that's like having the deputy head coach. And he was like, no, that was incredible. And I was like, yes.
Oh, and, well done you.
Well done.
That was a long time ago now.
So out of those three, Claire, which will you take home as a, I mean, physically take home? Well, you could physically take one of the bottles onto Jane and Feet.
Well, that's true. Well, I'll take the red one and stick it on eBay. No. Yeah. I think probably the Trappist Chardonnay.
Yes.
I really like that. I mean, I like them all. You know, I wasn't going to be spitting any of them out, thank you, Will. But I did like that Chardonnay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good.
But when we have dinner at yours, depends what you're cooking, and we can go with the red one because you like that.
No,
you take the red, and I'll take the Chardonnay.
We're all over this now. Yeah. You can see that, you know, my social
what
life has
cooking?
Really taken off.
I'm
going to work it out because if we're drinking
lasagna,
this Cheval des Andes, you know,
oh, with this, yeah,
something
steak,
very
oh meat.
I might do
if you like meat.
I'm thinking lamb.
Yeah. Lamb's good. Beef. Lamb's very good. I was thinking with the Trappist we could have lobster, but that's a bit extravagant.
Oh, no, you notice now Will is saying we. He's coming too. Oh,
he seems to be.
Well, I've just did it.
He's providing the wine. I'm going to veto lobster. I think lobster is massively overrated.
There's not enough of it.
Lobster and caviar. Greedy. There are various things in life. I just think, why have these become valued items? And I think it's someone at the top sort of just teasing us, going, oh, this is amazing. I don't like
it. It's what we were talking about, inflation of prices with wine, isn't it? It's creating something as being exclusive. Whereas with a lobster, you just don't get enough food from it, I find.
I don't really like the taste of it. But I did try. I was doing this amazing series on rivers that will come out sometime over the winter on Channel 5. Really fun. Smoked eel. I had never had before. And I was like, oh, my God, have I got to eat it? Slimy, horrible eel. It was absolutely delicious. And then I went to a really cool restaurant in Liverpool with some friends, right up the top of I think it's called the Peninsula or something.
Yeah.
And they had smoked eel on the menu. And I ordered it. And it was,
as good?
Was it delicious?
Yes. Mm.
Good.
Yes.
Interesting.
Big new discovery for me.
We've learned so much.
In Bordeaux, they have lamprey, which are these eels that go at the bottom of the Gironde, and you have those. But I don't think they smoke them. But it's that slimy texture, isn't it?
But it's not though. With the smoked eel, it's not slimy.
No, so it's
like a meaty fish. It's really, really good.
Quite texturous, like monkfish almost in its texture.
Better than monkfish.
On that note. Slippery, slidey eels. We must let you go off into the afternoon.
I'm going to eat my egg mayonnaise sandwich now.
Egg mayonnaise. It's been a joy. And what are you writing next? Just so that we can pitch you with your glass of wine as you sit.
I have in the spring a book for children coming out called Animal All Stars, which is about all different kinds of animals competing in a multi-sport event, very like the Olympics, but I can't call it the Olympics. So, and that's quite fun with commentary in it.
In their own
groups. They compete against each other in a speed race or a strength competition or an agility race. That kind
so
of
a
thing.
Rabbit against a dog against a
little bit more exotic,
this.
So like a jaguar against a peregrine falcon.
Of course, it's exotic. Yeah. It's you, Claire. Well, it would have been me. It would have been a rabbit.
No, because it's meant to be the fastest.
So it is the Olympics for animals.
Yeah. And then I've got to write a novel.
Really?
She's busy girl. We're very lucky that you.
I might introduce a wine tasting element into
definitely
the novel,
should.
You know?
Which we then go and research.
Indeed.
Yeah. Yes, very good. We've got so much to do.
That's a plan.
I'm going to go and pack my bags, sort myself out. Claire Balding, cheers. Blimey.
That was
a big cheer.
That had a sort of aftertaste to its
an after ring.
Well, that's it from us today. Thank you very much for listening to this episode of Wine Times in association with the Sunday Times Wine Club. The series producer is Anya Pierce, the producer Callum McRae, and the assistant producer has been Shana Johnson.
You can follow the podcast so you never miss an episode. Just do this via your favourite podcast app.
We'll be back next week with more delicious wines and another great guest.
And remember that all of the wines we tasted today are noted in the episode description. And you can get your hands on all of them from the Sunday Times Wine Club website.
But from all of us here at the Tap and Bottle, thank you very much for listening. We hope to see you next week for more Wine Times.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.